people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out, start a conversation with friends, family, the person you meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So way back in the day, before us humans had fancy microscopes and test tube bottles with fancy chemicals to break down things and relay back and forth what compounds were and how lightning even worked. We had gods most easily recognized between the Greeks and the Romans, Zeus, Jupiter, and Poseidon or Neptune, Hades and Pluto, just to name a handful. We know a couple under the Norse gods, made famous by a rather large cartoon company, dare I name them. But Odin, everybody's heard of Odin, haven't we? And Loki. These names of individuals that come down to us through stories and of the ages, of the means of being able to understand and communicate with things that we didn't fully understand. And then Christianity came through, started swinging around a big stick. I think it was more like a sharp metal stick that they were swinging around, but knocked everybody into submission, more or less, and focused on a single entity, God, religion, and such as it is. Not knocking anybody's choice of religion in this. It's not just Christianity, Judaism and Islam. Those are both, as well, Abrahamic religions of a single God. I don't know how much Judaism has gone around swinging sticks, but I know Islam and Christianity have that moniker about them. But we're here, at least in the United States, able to choose which religion we can pray to, feel that our spirit communes with. You can be so bold as to, or so free, as to pray to pagan gods, Roman gods, Greek gods. You can choose one of the three Abrahamic religions. You can choose to pray to the flying spaghetti monster. We have that freedom. And I'm not here to tell you what religion means to you. I have an idea of what it kind of means to me, but I don't even think I'm going to break into that. But this willingness, this ability to pray, to believe in something, to follow something with your full heart's content, know it to be true. And I feel that coronavirus, this COVID-19 situation, this lockdown, has a big push, not necessarily as a new religion, but exposing or bringing forth another religion. And I know this has been considered to a point throughout the years, but I feel that nowadays it's been brought forward a little bit more. We can look at people from the past, and science and religion go hand in hand. It's an easy example right off the bat is Galileo being put under house arrest for saying that the Earth revolves around the sun. How crazy is that? But he was a scientist in the world of Christianity, a world of if you questioned the church, you were a heretic. Now, thankfully, we don't have that problem nowadays. Kind of helps when we know that the Earth revolves around the sun. We're able to go up into space and figure out all that fancy stuff like that. We have scientists, don't have many quotes from them, but I know they're out there. I've seen them on the TV shows talking about their faith of whichever religion they choose, but they're in science to see how God works, how he communes, able to write down and figure it out. Is there a way of communing with God, understanding? I mean, telescopes didn't appear from out of nowhere, right? But how do we come about and bridge such things? I think the TV show American Gods summed that up relatively well.
All cultures impose their own meaning on the heavens. Look at these stars. Probably the most famous stars in the world. You probably know them as what? The Big Dipper. Other cultures know them as Ursa Major, others as Fafnir's Bow and Arrow, some as the Seven Gods. Personally, I prefer Odin's Wane. Wonder why? The stars. Frontier to the future and map to the past.
Thanks, Odin. Frontier to the future and a map to the past. Seeing where we came from, seeing those gods in the sky, Jupiter and Pluto, right? Yeah, we have names for those as planets now, not just specifically gods, actual locations. We can see how storylines intersect and overlap between science and religion. One attempting to explain the other, and the other supposedly to smite the other. Probably not. I think they can coexist. But there's very little, again, online. We're trying to look for all this of seeing science as a religion. There's a lot of debates about creationism and Darwinism, all that fun stuff that we've heard about being forced or taught in the schools. And I think there's an argument to be made on both sides. Might as well teach them both and let the kids figure it out. They should be allowed to choose what they believe. We allow that belief in so many other categories of life. Why not include creationism? But there's a lot of people that say that religion requires just blind faith. And you have to trust some guy in a funny hat to tell you what's what. Lead you down the correct path. And you just need a little bit of faith. And then you know that God is there. Whereas with science, we can all read papers and we can digest things and understand things. And we can follow an individual, not in a hat, but a white lab coat, to guide us down the correct path. There's more documentation under the terms of science than there is just the scripture of religion. Science papers are brand new. They've got it all figured out. These books, these scriptures are from ancient times before they had fancy microscopes and lab equipment. But I believe they still do go hand in hand, working with and against each other at the same time. Again, there's a lot of people that say that for religion, you have to believe in something. You have to have faith in something. And funny enough, those are synonyms, at least on the dictionary website I'm looking at. But faith is a great trust or confidence in something or someone. Belief, the feeling of being certain that something exists or is true. We have a lot of science out there. People put a lot of stake in science, such as like, when people thought fat made you fat and not sugar. When we had science tell us that smoking was approved by 9 out of 10 doctors, approved camels, or whatever the crazy ad was when we look back at it nowadays. All under the guise of science. We look at Monsanto and see that they can create, under science, bigger and better crops, which is fantastic. But then there's a cross-pollination issue with the person across the street that doesn't want to use Monsanto products. And then things get kind of crazy on how the plants decide to reproduce, recreate themselves. But then there's other fantastic science. We look at the improvements of technology that falls under science. We look at medical technology. Fine, back in the day they could reset a bone, but as soon as that rain came, you'd start feeling it, the aches and pains within your body, a change in humidity, you get all squeaky and achy. At what point do we understand that maybe shamans had a really good idea on what plants to use to cure a headache? And maybe those plants weren't populated all across the globe to make it feasible for any individual, such person, to be able to go there. Whereas now we have, what's the generic name? Aspirin, ibuprofen, acetaminophen? I have no idea. But we have this thing that we can all get just down at the local grocer. The science and technology, the research to improve births. We no longer have to pray to a fertility god. in hopes to be able to become pregnant. We have that ability now to go so far as to be able to improve things without a him or a collective focus to believe in something to make it happen. But we also have to watch out if we're going to have such beliefs in this, such an overarching term as well. Just science. Everything is science. It's kind of like calling Christians, well, that's the overall term. But within Christianity, you have Catholics, you have Protestants, you have Lutherans, you have Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists. Is that them? Or are those Mormons? Don't know. I've dropped the ball already. Either way, when we call Christians, we call them out. Again, Catholics, Baptists, Lutherans, Protestants, so on and so forth. I feel that's the same with the general term of science. You're just saying Christianity. Or you're saying Muslims when there's two very distinct sects that I can't think of off the top of my head. And then you have some smaller sects. Judaism is also kind of bifurcated, not as much as Christianity. But it's an overarching term. All falls under one thing. It doesn't require that you attend a special building for a ceremony, for local communion, local prayer. It just requests that you believe in it. You believe in the person, your preacher, the one telling you that this is the way. And even in the Bible, even though I didn't read it, but it's a well-known nomenclature of false prophets. I recall there being a joke asking something along the lines, is that with an E or an I? Because false prophets are always looking for profit. Or so it seems. It may not necessarily be monetary for them to be a false prophet, to share false ideals, to lead you astray down the wrong path. It may be just for them to have a collection of followers to say that they are the one, they are the chosen one. Do we follow these people, file these people under televangelists? If you're a follower of a televangelist, good on you. That's your faith. That's your religion. You choose to follow. And if you feel that that person is your spiritual leader, then so be it. But on the website, BibleStudyTools.com, turn off Java if you're going to this website. They got ads galore. But three warning signs is they prophesy from their own delusions. What they say does not come true. And they lead people away from Christ. Well, quite possibly, if you're looking at anything that is not Christianity, that last one definitely does not fit. Someone trying to get you to convert to Judaism or Islam, according to this little statement, seems like they would be a false prophet, but they might not be. Preaching their religion, preaching their beliefs, enticing you to follow along and see the magic that they witnessed. But are there false prophets within science as a religion? I feel that we've already discussed that. People in it for their own gain. Big sugar, big pharma, companies like Monsanto who are now owned by Bayer. At some level, there is benefit for society. I mean, as far as we understand, there's never been so many humans on the planet at the same time. And we can thank science for that. And it's pretty easy to worship science. You don't have to, again, go to church. All it takes is a little bit of convergence of your hard-earned work, time, money, converted into money to be sent in to them to cure you of your woes. We're not walking down an aisle in church to have some televangelist yell out some gibberish and smack us on the head and say that we are healed. Spiritually, of course, these physical ailments shall persist in the continuing future. When we look at science, can we sit there and go, we have legitimate proof? And if one kind of science is good, then all science is good? I don't think we can go so far as to separate between saying things like biology and ecology. And I think those are still too big of houses of worship. But I don't know how you narrow it down much more. Again, when we have people like televangelists who pray under the guise of Christianity, and then one of those subsects Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, etc. They use one of those monikers, and yet they seem to do a disservice to the more religious, the more devout, I guess I should say, even though everybody would claim that they're equally devout. And when we look at these ancient scriptures, these old writings that mean nothing according to science in a general term, I feel that they do offer insight and demand something that science is unwilling to look at because it's not a consistent prayer group. It's more just a collective of ideas. I think Jordan B. Peterson summed this up well of someone else that he quotes.
So there's a religious scholar named Marcia Eliade who looked at flood myths, because there are flood myths all over the world. God gets fed up, floods everything. It's like just like in New Orleans. So here's a funny thing about New Orleans. What caused the New Orleans flood? Well, a hurricane.
No.
Yeah? No. How about human corruption? How about the corruption of the state? How about the fact that people knew the damn dikes weren't going to hold, that the levees weren't going to hold? How about that they knew that for 100 years and didn't care? How about that they pocketed the money that should have gone for the repair? And so in flood myths, you always see two things. You see that, I'm paraphrasing, say, there's a storm, there's dikes, and there's people responsible for maintaining the dikes. Well, a storm won't wipe out the city. It could. But if the dikes are high enough, then it won't. And if people aren't corrupt, then they build the dikes properly. And so God floods the world when the dikes have rotted and the people have become corrupt. And it's a very old story, and it's disseminated everywhere. And the reason is well, we inhabit a social structure that's old and dead. Our infrastructure is decayed. Our political, economic, and practical infrastructure has decayed. Well, why? It's old. Everything decays. Okay, everything's already always decaying. That's dangerous. And corrupt people don't do a very good job of keeping it in order. And so if things get old and decayed enough, and if people get corrupt enough, then God floods the world. Why? Because that's what happens. Over and over and over and over and over.
And you don't mean God in a literal sense of the word. You mean God as these are the consequences to these type of actions. You are not prepared
for what
you think.
Transcendent reality.
Right.
You could look at it that way.
Don't know how to summarize that too much more, but it's a little bit of science and religion built into one. Again, things decay, break down. Science will tell us that. A little bit of religion saying that people's lack of faith in either their brother man or the system out in it for their own good. These false prophets. Let us raise money and we'll fix these dikes, but I need to pay my buddy a little bit extra. Well, we don't have enough money. We should raise a little bit more money. And so on and so forth. Oversimplified or looking at it too close? Do we see not enough or are we seeing too broad of a picture? I still believe the sentiment remains moderately the same. But again, we have this freedom to believe, to pray to whatever religion we have here in the United States. Elsewhere, there's a little bit more freedom, or not as much freedom, but a little bit more leeway on who you get to pray to. But there's other places where you don't so much get that option on where you get to pray and who you get to believe in or what you get to believe in.
To put it simply, the government, Congress, cannot pass a law establishing a religion, whether it's Catholicism or Protestantism or whether it's Judaism or Islam, and then say to you every Sunday you've got to go to church. Now, you might take it for granted. Why is it such a big deal? Gentlemen, there are societies in the world where you pray five times a day, and if you don't, you're going to get your head cut off. I know from my own experience, when I was your age, I lived in Greece with my father. I have dual citizenship, both American and Greek. In 1968, there was a coup. The military took control in Greece. And I was in Athens living with my dad. And the government that came to power was a government of military men, colonels. And they looked at Greek society and they said, Greek society, we've taken control because Greek society is getting out of control. And the way to bring back the old values, they said, every male and female under the age of 26 must go to church on Sunday. And if you're not in church on Sunday, you're going to be arrested. And so I can remember Sunday mornings going to church with my father, and there would be tanks in the streets of Athens. There would be armed soldiers. And if you gave them crap about going to church, they pull out a 45 and kneecap you. You know what a kneecap is? And a kneecap with a 45 means what, gentlemen? It means you're crippled for the rest of your life. They would kneecap you. And then the colonel said, the other problem with Greek society is you got too many young guys wearing beards. So it became against the law to have a beard. You could go to prison for wearing a beard. You had to be clean shaven. So, gentlemen, we take freedom of religion as a given. But in many states, gentlemen, it isn't. In many areas of the world, it isn't.
So that was Professor John Priebus teaching a class at IMG Academy in Florida, sharing his lived experience from not too long ago, from post-World War II, 1967, in Greece, forced religion, going to whichever church that was deemed. Maybe it was a little bit more open. I don't know. Didn't dive into this one. It's for you if you so choose. But the forcing of going into church, not sure if it's a specific branch or you just had to go to a church. But then the shaving of beards. And fine, this is the talking point is military occupation. And that forces this hand. But I think it stands the same of something that we need to watch out for. Maybe it's not the dikes that are going to flood Louisiana. Maybe it's not a hurricane that we need to watch out for. And that, again, that's not saying that good things can't happen. But there's a basis and there's a precedent. It's simple enough that there's even been a line that those who refuse to learn history are bound to repeat it, or something along those lines. We can make improvements. It's kind of where science comes along. Testifiable, verifiable, and repeatable. That's how the scientific method works. Build up an option, build up a plan, see how it unfolds. Or are we looking at the definition of insanity? You do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I don't know. Just kind of here, spitballing, trying to get some ideas flowing, getting those talking points rolling, and seeing where it takes us all. Maybe I go too far. Maybe I've stretched my ideas, my thoughts to the extremes. Or maybe I didn't go far enough. I don't know. That's up for you to decide on how far down this road, through this path, through this mind you wish to take it. And see how it all unfolds for you. See where these conversations can take you. And maybe you come back and you say, that guy Billy Bones of a Walk Through the Mind podcast, he's got some crazy ideas. But if it gets you talking, if it gets the brain gears turning, that's fantastic. That's what we're here for. And you can find me, Billy Bones, that's me, on Twitter and Gab at Billy Bones, BILLYBON, the number 3S. You find me on the Mastodon or the Fediverse at Billy Bones at noagendasocial.com. Or you can even go to the website, billybones.com, again, spelt with the number 3 instead of the E. I know, silly naming of the new age of the internet. But billybones.com. There you can find links to past episodes. You find links to longer forms of communication through Discord and email. And you can find a link for that says value for value right there on the main page when you scroll all the way down. And what's that mean? It means that I've given you this show out of my time and energy, hoping that you might find some value out of it. It might be very little, might be a lot. It might mean that all you want to do is give the show a share, because that's how much value it is, and that's fantastic. Or you can come in like Steve E., who said that whatever show he listened to was a fantastic episode. He is the executive producer for this show at $10. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your help producing this episode. I hope I've made your money's worth again as well. But give the show a share, everybody, if you found value out of it. Or again, you go to billybones.com, you scroll all the way down, click that value for value button, it'll take you to PayPal. And you can chip in whatever you feel this episode or the culmination of were worth. But thanks for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.